Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Hello and welcome back to Tennis Connected Studios for March 19th, 2018. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the Miami Open from Key Biscayne, Florida. This week's podcast is brought to you by Top Notch Tennis Tours as well as Health IQ. Let's introduce our co-host for this week, Parsa. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing good. You know, I'm just really looking forward to spring beginning tomorrow. And hopefully with that, some warmer weather will come. It hasn't been that way at all as of this stage. I mean, it's still freezing over here. Complete opposite of what we're going to be seeing in Miami later this week. So hopefully, I mean, it gets better here. But Parsa, so as we get into this week's show, break down a little bit of the structure of this week's episode, how it's going to work out. We're going to talk about how should Serena Williams be unseeded or seeded at these tournaments in her comeback. Will the Miami Open overtake the BNP Paribas Open, especially with the switch that they're going to have to the Hard Rock Stadium for next year? Will Delpo, after his Indian Well run, as well as winning Acapulco the week before that, will he be able to challenge for the world number one this year? What's Osaka's ceiling after winning her, you know, her maiden title as well in Indian Wells? And then we'll get into the women's preview and then the men's preview for Miami. So, I mean, we had a really cool end to the tournament. I would say on the men's side for Indian Wells, it was not that great. But the finals was amazing. Finals was the blockbuster. I mean, Federer had it, then he lost it. Del Potro had it, then he lost it. And then eventually Federer played really bad in that final set tiebreaker, and Del Potro kept it together and he took him out. And that was an incredible result for him. And then on the women's side, we had Katsukina versus Osaka. Two really nice 20-year-olds, up-and-comers, you know, friends off court. They took a jet, I believe, to Miami from Indian Wells together. But, I mean, Osaka, I mean, just, partially, I mean, she beats who? Sharapova, Pliskova, I mean, Halep. She destroyed, beating the crap out of all of these players. Right? It's not a joke. You know what I mean? And she doesn't, I don't think, you know, she's got that, like, cute, like, oh my God type of demeanor, right? But she, I don't think she maybe realizes how good she is. Because she's just clubbing the ball everywhere, very professional. You know, she's got that serene, you know, Japanese mentality, if you want to call it, and just playing really well. I mean, what's...
You know she's from out here by me, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. Then she moved to New York. I mean, extremely diverse, interesting background. So we'll get to her in a moment.
Yeah.
Let's start with the Queen Bee for a second. Serena Williams back playing Osaka in the first round. We'll get to the draw in a moment.
Insane.
Should Serena Williams, in her comeback, coming back from maternity leave, should she remain unseeded? I mean, obviously, she should definitely get wild cards, protected rank, and we get all of that. But with the caliber of player, we're talking about a 23-time Grand Slam winner. Should she be unseeded in these tournaments?
I think when you look at it from a point of view of is she currently one of the best players in the world, you have to say yes. Obviously, she is.
Okay.
What number do you put her at, though? And so that becomes the issue. It becomes the issue of the players who have earned the ranking, who have been out there and playing.
Mm-hmm.
Do they deserve to get knocked down? How come you can arbitrarily say because someone has won 23 slams that they are now better than you at this current moment, this current day? You know, mm-hmm. So it's very exactly. hard to find that judgment. And I think they sort of follow the lay of the law. And the law is black and is to be interpreted black and white. And it's not to be interpreted with some sort of loose interpretation where they say, you know, well, you know, she's a Grand Slam champion and she did okay in an EXO event and she looks good, so therefore we're now going to seed her 19. It's not fair to the person who's supposed to be 19 and who has earned that by playing. And so you know, I think what they tried to do with the protected rankings and being obviously gracious with wild cards, you know, it's not that gracious with Serena because she's Serena, she's going to draw everyone. It's, you know, there's no real way to find what that ranking number would be unless you just play. And that's how the system has worked. That's how it's been built is you win, you get points, and then you accumulate points and you climb a ladder. And that's basically it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I think that it's tough because obviously based on everybody who's out there, she's the most decorated champion that the women's tour has. So what, do you put her as one? Do you put her as five? Do you put her as 12? I mean, it doesn't really make sense because then what does the 12th ranked player in the world do? Become 13? Even though they've been playing the last year and they earned that ranking. So it's a little bit difficult. I mean, but again, we'll see how she does this week. I know she's been training hard and that's like her backyard, basically. She's yep. got a place down in Florida as well. So we'll see how that transpires when we get into the draw. Next up, we have the Miami Open today. We had actually Serena and James Blake, the new tournament director, down at the new Hard Rock Stadium. I believe it's like downtown Miami. And they were, digging up the soil a little bit, like saying, you know, symbolically, like this is going to be the new place for next year. Do you think, as far away now, that I think this is a good thing for Miami, by the way, even though I'm a fan of the Key Biscayne, you know, venue. I've been there on three different occasions. If you count Orange Bowl, maybe four times. I think being a little bit more in the heart of the city will attract a different type of clientele, potentially. And I think it's going to be good in a way. But with everything that the BNP Paribas Open has done and brought itself to this amazing level of everything, you know, accommodations and, you know, grounds and everything that they've done for the players and the fans, do you think that the Miami Open can ever compete with these guys? Or is it just we're talking about like a billionaire versus, you know, whoever's in charge?
Yeah, and I think it's not even necessarily about the money. I think sometimes it's also a function of location. You know, Indian Wells, there isn't much going on, so you can control the country clubs and the resorts and you're literally bringing business to the town, so everyone is going to be very, very welcoming and have open arms. Where Miami, you know, it's kind of like putting a tennis event, like they try every year in New York City. It's, you know, in the dead of winter, like everyone's like, all right, you know, there's tennis, but there's also Broadway, and there's, you know, just zillions of things happening, and it's just not that necessarily, you know, with Miami being in the central of Miami, you know, I think it's still. It's still warm weather. It's still Miami. I think maybe you'll get some more corporate sponsors, and I think you'll do better that way financially. But I'm not sure how well it's going to do, you know, in general with population, with popularity, having Nobu in there. I just think it's a different feel in Miami. I don't think it necessarily needs that. Whereas Indian Wells, it sort of needs to be a reason to go visit. Miami is still Miami, and people are going to go because of the warm weather, and it's Miami. You know, you can do other things besides watch the tennis, and it's a great tournament. And, I'm not sure it's even fair to compare the two because it's two different cities, two different venues, two different feels. And I think if anything, what James Blake is trying to do is to build their own version of what the best tournament should be in the world, you know, or the fifth slam, whatever they call Indian Wells. You know, they're trying to compete and find their own way at doing that.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Okay. Now, as we move forward, we have, you know, Juan Martin Del Potro playing fantastic tennis. Came through. Luckily, I had the two finalists, but we both had Fed winning. Almost had it. He had that match point. He was serving forward 4-5 in third. I was like, this guy's got it. And then he went for those two, you know, untimely drop shots. And I was like, it was kind of like a bail moment. It's like you see in juniors, like you got to hit the ball, man. You got that forehand, legendary forehand. You got to hit that, come in on the guy's backhand. If Del Potro rips a backhand by you, albeit he's hitting it better than he has since he's come back, you know, he's hitting it really well, no question. But still, if he rocks a backhand past you, then you got to say too good, but he didn't do that. And I think, you know, he paid the price for that and he lost the tournament. But with that said,
tiebreaker, Nima.
Yeah, lost 7-2. Yeah, it was like a couple double faults and just very strange. Very strange. He looked a little bit unsettled, and it was interesting because I watched that match, and Federer has this tendency of when he's not where he wants to be, he kind of starts barking at people and the umpires because he's got this, like, I'm the man. Rightfully so. I mean, he's, again, like Serena, the most decorated champion that the men's side has. And, you know, it's like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't care who this guy is on the other side. Even though, you know, Del Potro's part of his team eight. You know what I mean? He's the guy. And I think Ljubicic does some stuff with him too. And I don't know how it is. He does that stuff with Čorić. But it was interesting for me to see all of that. And it's good, though. I mean, it's good for... I would have liked to have seen Federer go to 18-0. But by the same token, I really like Del Potro. Probably like millions of other people because he's such a nice guy. And he has an amazing game. And do you think that, you know, this guy's...
He's one of those guys, Nima, that doesn't have that issue with the aura of Federer. You know,
or with anybody.
Straight up.
Yeah, or with anybody. And he believes in himself. And, you know, we talked about this entering the Australian Open podcast, and I said that Del Potro himself said that he really looks at this first half of the season as an opportunity to really move up. And he's up to 6th in the world now. Won Acapulco, 500 event, massive tournament. Then he comes and he wins his first ever Masters 1000. Now he's obviously got a bunch of 250s, he's got a 500, he's got a 1000, and he's got that US Open title as well too. So he's pretty much won everything that the sport has to offer. He wants to do more. But do you think that he can get to number one? And if your answer is yes, why? And if your answer is no, also why?
So it's a why.
Yes.
I don't think he can get there, Nima. I think there were special circumstances at Indian Wells. I think they favor his game.
Yes.
I think that was a high-quality pick that you made. I agreed with you. If you remember the podcast, I think I said one of these two he's going to do well. So, I mean, it's not looking good for Miami for him.
No.
But the conditions favor him. So, and I think the draw was sort of weak down there. I think you messaged me in the round of 16 and you're like, I think I'm going to be right. You know, Del Potro is going to get to the final. And
yeah.
I looked at the draw and, I mean, I was like, he is the class of the bottom section
exactly.
Right now. There's really nobody in there that's going to really get in his way.
Yes.
He's a great player, right? He can upend and he can make you have to play the game that he wants you to play. And so, can he get to number one? I just don't see it translating full on into best of five sets yet.
Mm-hmm.
His improvement on the back end is really good. But it's not really an improvement. It is an improvement, but he's still not rolling his wrist at all, so he can't get any shape on the ball. It's more of a drive,
mm-hmm.
and so the ball has to be situated in such a place like Indian Wells where it hits the court and sits up that he can really lay into it. And if it doesn't sit up, it's kind of not a good backhand, and he's going to have to go back to the slice, and then he becomes compromised. So, that being said, that final, as much as Federer was barking and doing all those things, Nima, I have to go back to this because he was thoroughly outplayed for both of the first two sets.
Mm.
And remarkably, Federer still saved a match point in the second set and came through and won that second set. And I thought that was really unbelievably interesting. And then how it ended in the third was just unbelievable and interesting as well as it... You know, Del Potro continued to persist and just wouldn't go away, and he wouldn't give in to that aura that I was talking of earlier. And you know, if the wrist was healthy, yes, he could be number one. But I just don't believe in it. There's not enough shape on that side, and the way the men's game is right now, you have to pretty much be able to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's just not going to be good enough over the calendar year.
Yes, and I think he matches up pretty well with Federer. I know Federer still has a tremendous lead on him in their head-to-head, but he's won some big matches against Federer. I definitely think he is in his head a little bit, and he's beat him in some big matches, a couple of US Opens, he's beat him at the Indian Wells Finals, so he's there, and he's an amazing guy, and he definitely deserves to be top five. There's no question about that. I think he's better than Dimitrov. I think he's better than Zverev. I don't think he's better than Nadal from an overall perspective, or Federer, but why can't he be three? You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason for that. So we'll see how the rest of the year goes. And clay is not really his best surface, and that's a big chunk of the year. So we'll see if he dodges that a little bit or he plays, you know, two or three events. Okay, so now getting on to the women's winner, which was Naomi Osaka, won it, played amazing, as I had alluded to, the players that she beat the caliber. What do you think her ceiling is? Do you see her as a number one player in the world? Only 20 years old. I mean, this is, she looks like she's the real deal. She's professional. She's got a good team behind her. She kind of shrugs off, you know, the pressure by having this very loose demeanor and relaxed demeanor behind her. But she packs a punch, and I think she's here to stay. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, it can go one of two ways. We've been waiting for that next sort of dominant champion on the women's side, mm-hmm. or it could be one of these, she wins and then we don't really hear from her for another year, which has been pretty much the WTA for the entire year. There hasn't been anyone dominating since Serena's absence with her having her baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's been sort of, you know, we hear this one does, you know, who was it last year? Vesnina did unbelievable at Indian Wells, yes. And then she disappeared.
And then Konta won in Miami.
What was that?
Joanna Konta won the Miami Open.
Konta won in Miami. Yeah. And then who won Roland Garros? I can't even remember. Ostapenko. I keep wanting to say Roddick Stepanek. Ostapenko won that, you know, and then you think that Wozniacki won the U.S. Open. You think she's going to do some damage. And she sort of started to play well at the end of the year, but then now she's sort of – I'm sorry, Australia. And, you know, she hasn't shown up since. It's – You know, who won the U.S. Open again? I can't even remember. That's how
Sloane Stephens.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Like, so there's another example. So yeah. Sloane Stephens goes right into my argument. I didn't even remember that she won the U.S. Open, which is insane. But that's how much or how little damage she has had on WTA Tour after the fact. So
yes.
I guess data is telling us that Osaka, we're not going to hear from her for a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
But her game lends to tremendous shot making, and she just goes after it. And I love the tenacity and the competitiveness, and she's a great tennis player. So I hope that she completely, you know, upends the trend and reverses it and makes it her own, and she can step up and translate it into a Grand Slam. That'd be terrific.
Okay. All right, Parsa. So now we're going to get into with Indian Wells behind us for another year. Amazing tournament. As an overall perspective, we get into the Miami draw. Let's start with the women's. We have Halep again as the number one seed here. I mean, she just got thumped by Osaka. I mean, that was embarrassing, like 0-3 in the semis, I believe it was. I still think Halep will go deep here. She's got enough to do that. I'm not going to take her as my winner. I'll, you know, break the ice on that a little bit quickly. But, you know, some players in her top quarter here. We have Radwanska as a 30th seed. Sveta Stova. We have Madison Keys, who's been very quiet this year. Kuznetsova, Kristia, and then Pliskova. I mean, the way I'm looking at it, I think just from a grind perspective, unless, you know, like Madison Keys or a Pliskova are just red hot, I don't think anybody's going to take her out in this quarter. And for that reason, I have Halep going to the semifinals. How about yourself?
Yeah, you know, I watched it. I reviewed our picks from last week at Indian Wells. And I watched some of Halep, a couple of her matches. And she is the consistent one. There's a reason why she's number one. She's always there. She's always competing now. She's smart. She's not giving too much away. Perhaps she's not winning the big matches, but she's always there. So I can't go against her. I won't go against her for the rest of the year. Now I learned something watching her at Indian Wells. She's consistent. She's not going to beat herself. And she's going to be putting herself in positions to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's no different here this week.
For sure. Okay. And as we move on to quarter number two, it's highlighted by Muguruza, who had an early upset loss in Indian Wells. Strykova, Rybakova, Stevens, Kerber, Pavlyuchenkova, Suarez Navarro, and Garcia are the seeded players. I mean, I don't know. I look at this draw and I say there's a little bit of opportunity lurking here. I think Kerber played well in Indian Wells, so she might be definitely a lot of people's pick. You talked about Sloane Stephens, how she's been very underwhelming since the U.S. Open in her victory there, which was massive. But she's been winning a few matches since then. Acapulco, she won a couple rounds. Indian Wells, she won some matches. So I think that she's going to start putting it together a little bit here. It's tough. I mean, you know, it's not that we don't follow the women's draws. I mean, we do. We follow everything. It's just, it's so much more open than the men's, right?
Yep.
And I, th- But for me, I have this feeling that Sloan is going to come through and make the semifinals here from this second quarter.
And I mean, tremendous pick there, Mr. Yeah. Connected there. For me, it as you said, people are going to pick Kerber. You meant me, because yes, I am going to pick Kerber. I think I still, because for the lack of a better understanding of what's going to happen and not sure who's showing up and what's happening.
Yes.
I know what Kerber's about. And, as I picked Halep in the first section, I'm going to get Kerber for that same exact reason. She's the class in the section. I think eventually class will prevail. Although Muguruza's probably will be hungry as well. I'm going to go with Kerber there.
Now, two things here. Being in Miami, there's that Latin, obviously flavor. And, players that speak Spanish and all that stuff, they're going to have that, that backing. Do you think that aids Muguruza in this tournament? Do the conditions favor her type of game? And my second question for you on Kerber is that, what do you think overall she's doing better this year than she did last year? Because last year was a write-off. Year before that was tremendous. Now she's coming back a little bit.
Yeah, I think Muguruza, Latin American and Spanish still different.
Yes.
I think the Latin Americans, and the South Americans, I think, take to Miami quite a bit. The Spanish, just a little bit different. I'm not sure how much that'll translate to her favor. Hmm. In terms of Kerber, what she's really doing better, she's just under a slightly bit more emotional control. Mm. And when she's managing her emotions better, she performs better. It's not complicated with her. Her first serve percentage has to be high, and in order for that to happen, she has to be in a frame of mind that allows her to constantly focus on what she needs to do in order to be successful. And when she's doing that, she's going to be very successful, because she is one of the best players in the world. So I think that's what she's doing. She's calmed to a certain point where she can really understand herself and in the moments can make her adjustments and still play tennis. And instead of rolling in, 40 mile an hour serves and double faulting still, those things have started to clean up, and therefore she's able to strike more, and the math works out in her favor.
Okay. Moving on to quarter number three. It's highlighted by Svitolina, who had an early loss earlier than expected. I think we both had her winning in Indian Wells, and that didn't happen. We have Kvitova, we have Ostapenko, Zhang, Kasatkina, who had an obviously amazing Indian Wells. And then this, for me, is the most loaded quarter, because then you also have recent Indian Wells winner Osaka and versus Serena Williams on Wednesday night. So two nights, that's just going to be a blockbuster. And I mean, it's to play Svitolina.
Unbelievable.
You know what I mean? And it's like, that's tough, man. That's like, you're not going to get much tougher than that. So I have two players here I see coming out. And I'm going to let you talk a little bit before because I kind of made a decision, but I might go back on it. I have Svitolina or Serena making the semis.
Well, you got to choose, man.
Yeah, I got to choose. So listen, you know what? I'm gonna go with Svitolina. If I'm going to go with one right now, if I got to go with somebody, I still don't think Serena's going to be ready, just because she didn't really play a lot. I mean, she played a few matches in Indian Wells. She looked okay. I think Osaka, she'll take out Osaka. I think Osaka's going to be a little bit, got that hangover effect and everything. But I think Svitolina's going to be a little bit too match tough as an overall. And I think that Svitolina will be able to take her out. But for sure, the winner of that match, for me, is going to the semis now. Or does Osaka beat Serena, and then does she beat Svitolina? What do you think?
I don't know. I think that's going to be rough. Hangover effect.
Yeah.
The WTA has taught us. I told you, they can't lie with the data, and the data is the data.
Yes.
Whoever is winning is not coming back and dominating the rest of the year. That's kind of fact.
Yeah.
Because of your wonderful analysis and your professionalism, I'm going to absolutely listen to you, and I'm going to take Serena Williams.
Okay.
Because you told me it's going to be either or, and you're usually right. And so, I just feel like Serena is only going to get better, and she's this determined champion. And I know she's been working at each thing that she felt a little bit weak. So everything's going to be a slight bit better than it was in Indian Wells. Mm-hmm. It is a process. It's not necessarily fluid and going to translate immediately. But I think she will be better than she was at Indian Wells. And I think I'm going to have her going into the semis.
Okay. And then we have quarter number four headed by Wozniacki, or how do you say it? Wozniacki?
Wozniacki.
Yeah. And then we have Vesnina, who made the doubles final in Indian Wells after winning the singles last year. We have Coco Vandeweghe. We have Konta, the defending winner. And then we have Venus Williams as well here. Venus also having a good Indian Wells tournament. I think this one's a little bit more clean cut for me, and I don't need to break it down too much. I'm going Wozniacki all the way to the final four here. How about yourself?
Yeah, I think, for me, as clear cut as it is, I find a problem, and believe it or not, it's the weirdest problem. It's yes. Monica Puig. That's the first round. You spoke about the Latin flavor and
under that's
and that energy, and she's the one who could get that energy from the crowd there in Miami. I think it's going to be a tough match if she wins the first one against Stozer.
Mm-hmm.
I think Wozniacki Puig will be something to watch. It's going to be a barn burner and something long, and who knows how that's going to turn out. But I'm going to go out with a surprise pick, and I'm going to say I'm going to go out with the flavor and say that, you know, I'm coming here, I'm the defending champion. I've been not playing that well. I've got a new coach who happens to be a friend of mine, in Michael Joyce. Mm-hmm. And, I think she's due. And you said that a couple of podcasts ago, that you're feeling like, I don't know who you're talking about, but that they were due. And I feel
Jack
like...
Jack Sock. Yeah.
What was that?
It was Jack Sock.
It was Jack Sock. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so I feel like this is the position for Konta. She's basically on her home court where she has good vibes and good energy. She's going to be going to the same restaurants that got her to win, and she's going to be doing all those kinds of things, and hopefully she can mimic that deal, and I think she will. So I'm going to have Konta in the semis here.
Parsa, on a side note, anybody who's down in Miami in the Coconut Grove area, I highly recommend checking out Le Bouchon, French restaurant beside the Sinesta, right there on the beautiful restaurant, man. All the French players go there. I think Svetlana was there tonight. She was posting some things and some snaps. So definitely check that one out. Okay, so my final four. I have Halep, Stevens, Svitolina, Wozniacki. I'm going to say it my way. I have Sloane Stephens taking out Halep. I have Wozniacki taking out Svitolina. I have Sloane and Caro in the finals. I have Wozniacki winning the tournament. How about yourself?
Unbelievable. Yeah, I've got a Halep versus Kerber. I think it's going to be sort of your usual expected type of blockbuster.
Okay.
I'm going to go with who am I going to go with? Who's going to win that match? That's going to be a tough match. If they both get to that point, there will be a reason they're both at that point, and they'll be at the top of their game. And who's better at their top of their game? Is it Kerber or is it Halep? And I'm not going to buy into Kerber's emotional control, and I think she's going to lose it before Halep's going to lose it. So I'm going to have Halep win that match, and it's going to come down to Serena Williams and Joanna Konta, and I just think that Serena won't have the energy to go all the way, and so I'm going to have Konta going back into the final to defend her championship, and I think she's going to go down to Halep in the final. So I'm going to have Simona Halep, your champion.
As you like to say, very, very good.
Very, very good.
Okay, Parsa, so moving along to the second half of our podcast for the men's preview, which this week is brought to you by Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, including tennis players, runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans, and more. From a tennis perspective, according to a 2007 study in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, tennis players who play twice a week have 17% lower body fat than the age match controls. According to a 1980 study in the Journal of Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise, average VO2 max is 40% higher for male tennis players and 32% higher for females. As you can clearly see, there's a lot of health benefits to playing tennis. From a savings standpoint, 56% of Health IQ customers save between 4 and 33% on their life insurance. These savings are exclusive to Health IQ. to see if you qualify. Get your free quote today at healthiq.com/TC, which once again stands for Tennis Connected, or mention the promo code TC when you talk to a Health IQ agent at the following 1-800-549-1664 number. Okay, Parsa, so as we dive now into the men's draw, Roger Federer is back in action. I have a sneaky feeling that he's going to copy and paste what he did last year. You're not going to see him after this, probably till Halle, or maybe the Mercedes Cup, the tournament in Stuttgart before. Especially if he wins this tournament. If he loses early, then, which I don't see happening, if he loses early, then I definitely, maybe he plays Monte Carlo, maybe Rome, something like that, or Madrid, because he's done well there in the past. I wouldn't, though. I mean, if I'm Federer, if I'm in his camp, I would just say, hang out for a few weeks, really rest up, and then you're going to be the number one player. Well, Nadal's got so many points to defend, I don't really think he can catch him on the clay. He has no room to slip, right? The only thing he can do is win Rome, because he lost a team last year. Other than that, it's going to be a tough one. Looking at the draw here, we have Fed, obviously, as number one. We got Verdasco, who had a pretty good Indian Wells. Mannarino, who's playing best tennis of his life. We have Carreño Busta, Burdick, Kyle Edmund, who had an illness last week. Khachanov, and then Kevin Anderson as the sixth seed here. Anderson's playing really well. Does he have enough in the tank, enough versatility to be able to take the racket out of, Federer's hand and go through? I don't think so, personally. I mean, I don't think he's at that elite of a class. I don't see anybody else here remotely bothering Federer if he's playing over 75%. For that reason, I have Federer going into the semifinals.
I mean, Nima, do you want me to pick against Federer? I don't know.
That's why we're here.
I just spent my time there saying how he was being outplayed by Del Potro and still had a match point to win the entire tournament. I mean, yeah. I can't. I'm sorry, everyone out there, but Federer for me is the guy and the only guy actually right there. And I don't think, again, the same thing that I said last week. Actually, one of my kids that's in my program, he reminded me. He listened to our podcast and he reminded me. He goes, you said that something would have to be a little bit off. In order for Federer to get upended. And, he was very crabby in that final. That's what he said to me. And he goes, he was just a little bit off. He wasn't exactly his cool, calm, collected self. And that ultimately did cost him. And it did. So I think the same scenario goes here. It's going to take tremendous wind or something strange, like extreme heat, to that effect. Other than that, barring any of that, I think it's Federer into the semis here.
And he did talk about that, Parsa. He talked about how you guys are always used to, me making it look easy. And
right.
It's not always that way. And that was very interesting, actually, for him to say that, because he felt it, man. And credit to Del Potro, because I think he made him feel that.
That's
right. You know what I'm saying? And that's when you know that.
Those two sets, Nima, did you see that stat?
Yeah.
In the second set, Del Potro won 73% of his second serve points. We know historically, if you're over 50%, you win the match.
That's
he won 73%, and somehow this guy Federer still won that set, which is just a testament to being on the tightrope or being on the cliff's edge and not falling over and extending it even to the point where he served for the match. Crazy.
Well, and it's also a function of winning three of the last five Grand Slams, so you know that I have a little bit of belief. It's not like he's coming back with zero matches. The guy's
been
winning. He's 17-1 in 2018, right? So Paris, moving on to quarter number two. We have Alex Zverev, who really needs to get some stuff going. Tour veteran David Ferrer. Kyrgios, who, again, he was in Chicago.
And a favorite of Nima Nadiri.
Won't be picking him this week, but he was in Chicago today with Federer.
So he'll probably win, though, no?
He's played here really well. He's made the semis the last 2 years. So he's got some points to defend. We've got Fognini. That would be a great match if both of those guys met up in the third round with Kyrgios. Query, who had a good match. He really should have beat Milos, but he didn't. Zoomer, who's had some decent results here in the past. Čorić, who's really turned it up. I mean, he was just rolling guys last week. And he really should have beat Federer, too. Federer even said that. But it didn't happen. And then we have Jack Sock, who, again, really has to get his season going. Once again, I got bit last week by this, but I'm going to be going with Jack Sock to make the semifinals here. only because, again, I really feel that he's due for a big singles result. And again, Parsa, one more thing we got to talk about, because I did post this on Twitter. Best doubles player in the world, Jack Sock. Won again with Isner. You put this guy with...
incredible.
I think if he plays with one of us, we got a good chance still. I mean, the guy is just an incredible player, man.
Like, how are you supposed to volley that forehand? It's way too much spin.
And he's very fast around the net. He's got very good hands. And he's got a massive serve. So, I mean, and he's a good athlete, right? So all of those things put together are going to make it happen for him. So for me, I got Sock going to the semis.
Interesting. You're starting to jump on this Sock bandwagon, which I find it a slightly head-scratching.
Yes.
Slightly, I feel very patriotic about it. And being an American, okay, we got Jack Sock, Nima Naderi, master prognosticator. What did I write on Twitter? Half man, half master prognosticator. That's definitely you. So, coming from you, Sock going to the semis is massive. But I can't. And I believe I'm going to go. This is going to be my tournament of who's due. And Zverev is due. And, I don't think he's got the level to do it. But maybe just a hunch. Maybe a wrong hunch. Maybe he'll lose first round. Who knows? But I'm going to have Zverev going to the semi. Purely a hunch. And definitely nothing to do with form. But because, you know what, he needs to figure this out and needs to figure it out quick and before it gets onto the clay and becomes a much more bigger challenge on the clay. So, Zverev into the semis.
Okay. Moving on to quarter number three, we have the man of the hour, Del Potro, who's feeling super good and he's going to be having some really good vibes here. He's going to have tremendous crowd support. I don't know if he's going to be... probably going to be gassed, but he's got a few days off. I mean, he's going to have five, six days off before he plays, so who knows, right? We've got Nishikori, who is completely comfortable in Florida conditions, but is he comfortable with his game? Probably not. Still not, right? We got Krajanovic, Djokovic, who showed up here as the ninth seed. Let's see what he does. Hopefully he has
What do you think about his Indian Wells, Nima?
It's very interesting. I mean, I think he lost to Taro Daniel, and that match... he really should have won it. I mean, Taro Daniel is a crafty guy, but by no means is he anywhere near Djokovic's level. And I think it was just mental. I think it was just lack of matches that clipped him at the end there. I mean, losing a set 6-1 to Taro Daniel in a tournament you've won how many times in your first match? That's I don't care even like there's got to that's mental for me for sure. So, I mean, his draw here, it's not easy. I mean, he's got, Zverev, who's going to serve in volley against him. Benoit Paire, who can come up with anything, really, at any time. The guy's just all over the place. And then he's got his good buddy, Krajanovic, potentially in the third round, to play Del Potro or Nishikori. I mean, that's not going to be an easy one. So, and then other guys we have here, we have Schwartzman, who I watch out for him. I'll get to that in a second. We got Raonic, Gasquet, who's played well here in the past. And then Dimitrov, who I don't think is going to do anything here once again. So I think for me, believe it or not, I'm going with the 13th seed, Diego Schwartzman, to make the semifinals. I feel I'm completely on this guy's bandwagon. Really like what he does out there. Super professional. Doesn't miss anything. And I think he's just going to be feeling good and he's not going to miss anything and you're going to have to overpower him. There's definitely a couple guys here that can do that, like a Raonic, like even a Dimitrov. But I think that for me, I think it's going to be the surprise semifinalist in Schwartzman making the final four. How about yourself?
And not to mention the crowd support, right?
For sure.
Argentinian.
Absolutely.
I mean, if more than anywhere else, I think besides Buenos Aires, he'll have that tremendous support that they give Del Potro. I think Schwartzman is regardless of his Argentinian nationality, he's just a guy that every person who's been an underdog in anything is going to root for. I mean, exactly. He's the guy that you want to win because, you look at him and you go, how is he playing this massive guys who are stronger than him and taller than him, faster than him? And Schwartzman just continues to find a way and has pushed himself all the way into the top 15 in the world, which is an incredible achievement.
It's amazing.
And you're right. I mean, I think there's growth still there for him. He still can go. What did you think about Milos' tournament?
I think he got lucky. I think he did. He's obviously the guy is an elite player throughout his career. He's been there. He knows how to handle himself. I think it did okay. I mean, with me, it's kind of like, you know, we were talking about one of your students. We won't name him, but you're kind of just like, you know, hit the ball before we got on air today. And it's kind of, he's got to just hit the ball, man. I mean, the guy, his greatest asset will always be power.
Right.
It's not going to be movement. It's not going to be defense. It's not going to be returning serve. It's going to be brute force. And for me, he's got to go with that and nothing else. And there's really no deviating from that. And I think that, you know, that's basically what it comes down to. So I think against Querrey, as an example, he wasn't hitting the second serve big enough. And Querrey's obviously feeling good. He's had a good last 12 months with Wimbledon, winning a couple tournaments in Mexico. And I think that he just came through and he took him out. But that for me, but I still don't think he's going to be there because Milos is a very calculated guy. And he's got Ivan Isevich in his corner now. They're testing that out. I think he's going to stay for a bit. I think they're targeting Wimbledon from what I've heard. So I think he'll try. Obviously, he's going to try his best here during the clay. But it's just kind of about hitting balls and getting comfortable. And then really gearing that up when I get to, you know, he plays Queen's Club and then Wimbledon. So for me, I think Milos still has a little bit of time to develop from where he wants to be in his mind because he's such an analytical guy. So I think he's still a little bit away from that, from getting where he
wants
to be.
You know, that being said, I'm going to pick the guy I don't want to pick because I think he's a pusher. I think he's super athletic. I'm not seeing anyone who's going to be able to overcome that in this section at this very moment. So I think Dimitrov is my guy. I think he's just going to grind people into the ground and he's going to use his conditioning and just sliding left and right and putting balls in play.
And there's two things here that can really go well for you. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's a number three seed because completely, in my opinion, overinflated because of what's happened in the last. And I'll talk to anybody about that. I really don't care. But I think there's two things here. He's super fit. He likes his condition. He's an amazing athlete. One of the best on tour, without a doubt. And the last thing is that he's also due for a result. He lost first round Acapulco as a top seed. Sorry, he lost first round Dubai as the top seed, lost his first match in Indian Wells. I mean, he's done nothing in the last month almost, right? So he's ready to go. And his draw is not that bad if you think about it, right? And I think that he can definitely develop. But a guy like Schwartzman, who I have going into the semis, I think will just be able to keep getting balls back. It's going to be a grind fest. And I think that Schwartzman, with just a little bit more seasoning right now, feeling a little bit more confident, be able to take out Dimitrov.
It's a great pick. Schwartzman's a very good pick in this section for sure.
Going on to the fourth and final quarter before we wrap things up for this week, we have David Goffin returning to action after that freak accident that he had in Rotterdam where he got that ball in his eye. We have Feliciano Lopez who had a couple good wins last week. We have Chung who just keeps going up and up. We got Batista Agut who's already won a couple tournaments this year. We have Isner who's done nothing this year, even though he won the Indian Wells doubles. Let's see if that transcends into him playing some good tennis and singles before the clay court season. We have Mueller, who, again, is a guy who, I mean, can play well anywhere, really, with his lefty serve. Rublev, who still has some developing to do, but, I mean, the guy's just got a shotgun forehand. He can do some damage anywhere. And then we got Cilic, who, again, for me, is a very, you know, overinflated number two seed. So I think with everything that I've seen in this quarter, based on strength, youthful exuberance, form, all of that put into the pot, I'm going with Chung to make the semifinals. How about yourself?
I mean, I love the pick. You know, can I just say something? It's a gripe between me and the ATP World Tour right now.
Yeah.
Is that when I see Cilic as a two seed, it just upsets me. This is a weak section, Nima.
Yeah. For sure.
You know, Chung is totally in form.
Yeah.
You know, but between Goffin and, you know, who's been struggling of late, and Lopez, who will do his stuff, but he's not going to win the tournament.
No.
Chung, who's rising, Bautista Agut, who's obviously clearly
he's a warrior.
Yeah. He's also going to be somewhere deep in a section, but I don't know if he could do it in this tournament. Or Mueller, or Isner, forget it. Isner's done, huh?
What's happening
there?
I have no idea.
How do you have like a 12-foot bouncing kick serve and lose? How is it even possible?
You know what? For me, it's interesting because he played really well, obviously, with Sock, because Sock's an amazing doubles player, as we've already mentioned. But He's just, his volleys are not good right now. I mean, he's literally, I saw him playing in New York and he was hitting volleys that were bouncing into the net. It was just like, it was unbelievably bad. And I think that
I don't know.
He's just kind of just not feeling it right now. I think that's something. So,
you know, I don't know who to buy into. You know, I am going to have a surprise. I think we're going to get Taylor Fritz going a little bit deeper here. I think that he's going to end up playing Chung in the quarter. And I think it's going to be a little bit of a young gun section here.
Yeah.
As he did last week, I feel like Fritz will come up short when it counts.
And shout out to Fritz, who played well as well in Indian Wells. Really like Fritz. Talked to him a little bit at the U.S. Open last year. Great guy. Very mature for his age, and I wish him all the best, and I think that definitely has a chance. I just think that, again, he's not the best athlete out there. Like, Chung, for me right now, or even a Rublev, are superior athletes to Taylor Fritz. He's got the firepower. He's got the height. You can't teach that. But I just don't think he's got the strength, and I don't think he's got that adult physique yet that some of these guys already have, like a Chorich, for instance, at younger ages. So I think that that's something that he's missing.
That being said, I think I'm going to go with Chung as well here in the section.
Okay. So, Parson, my final four on the men's side are Roger Federer, Jack Sock, Diego Schwartzman, and Chung. That's my final four. I got Chung taking out Schwartzman. I got Fed taking out Sock. And then I have Federer taking out Chung to repeat his title in Miami. How about yourself?
Very good. Wow. I've got Federer advancing. I don't see many problems, anyone posing problems, to be honest with you. I think that he's the one that's going to get into the final. I think Zverev will maybe give him a little bit of a push, but I think Zverev will either lose first round or get to that semifinal and then act like he's losing first round. So I'm not believing right now in that. In the lower half here, and it's going to be tough. I've got Chung versus who did I pick here, Nima? In the top here, let me see. Dimitrov.
Yes.
So Dimitrov and Chung, I'm gonna have Dimitrov coming through here. I think that maybe a little bit of some persistence, and he sort of does this, Nima. This has got like a Dimitrov type thing. He sort of just shows up with the pussycat doll on his arm and is like, yeah, look, I'm a celebrity and all this kind of stuff. But then, he always comes up short, or he tanks matches that I buy tickets to, whatever it is. It's just not fun. So Dimitrov and Federer in the final, I'm going to go with like Federer 3-2, something totally just not that fun to watch like Indian Wells was. Yeah.
Okay, very good. All right, so
throwing him under the bus. I hope there's not crazy rabid Dimitrov fans like there were Djokovic fans.
No, he doesn't have the same following, so that's all good. Okay, so Parsa and I will be back on April 1st to wrap up Miami. That's the final day of this event, and then get ready for the ensuing clay court season. In the meantime, you can follow Parsa at Parsa Sammy on Twitter, as well as on Instagram, myself at Tennis Connected. You can also follow us on tennisconnected.com throughout the entire event for all of your orders of play and reviews and previews and whatnot. This week's podcast, once again, is brought to you by Top Notch Tennis Tours. Make sure to hit them up for any tickets that you need for Monte Carlo, Madrid, or Rome. Finally, to Health IQ, for all those, those people out there who are taking care of themselves, make sure to hit Health IQ up and see what they can do for you. Parsa, once again, thank you very much for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody out there, for listening. Please also make sure to download this podcast on iTunes, subscribe, leave us a review. We would greatly appreciate it, and we will talk to you guys soon.